Hi, welcome to Humans of Van Life, the most raw, authentic, and diverse podcast from the road. If you like this podcast and want to support it, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. It truly helps. Thanks a lot. Hello, and welcome back to Humans of Van Life. I'm sitting here right now with Chris and Taylor, and we are at Descend on Van still. We've been here for, I guess, 4 nights, 5 days.
Yes.
And it's just been magic. How are you guys feeling today?
Awesome. Mm-hmm. We almost don't want to leave. Yeah, it's so magical. The community is the main reason that we keep going in the van, in the van life.
Yes, huge positive environment. Mm. Everybody's just positive. No negative energy. Mm. It was very nice.
Beautiful. Okay, well, let's just dive right in here. So what are you guys living in and when did you start van life?
So we just currently transitioned out of full-time van life. We are in an apartment right now, but we bought the van in September of 2017. It's a 2005 Dodge Sprinter. We are on our second rebuild. And
of the same van?
Of the same van.
Okay.
And we've taken it to Baja. The build held up. It's pretty sick.
So what made you guys switch into the home for right now?
Just a break. Mm. We spent about 2 years not living in a house. Mm-hmm. So now, because some things take a lot of time, well, everything takes time in a van, and since we want to pursue the pursuit of further education, mm. you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want to be too busy doing van stuff and you don't have time to, like, study and apply yourself for school.
Dude, so. I totally know what you mean. I finished my last year of school in the van, and it felt like a full-time job on top of a 100% course load. So I totally respect that.
Yeah.
And what do you guys want to pursue for education?
I'm a child development major with the emphasis in child and family services. I really want to work remote to be able to teach English to kids over the app so I can continue to travel and be able to, like, sustain myself.
Wow. Yeah.
And then work in the juvenile system whenever we plant roots somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, I have a background with the fire department and mm-hmm. the Navy doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm attending school to get my EMT certification again, and I have a chance to get my paramedic before she graduates. Well, I'll also be studying to get my associate's degree in kinesiology.
Oh my God, you guys are like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Dude, that's incredible. No, really, like, those were, like, some very attributed careers and, you know, like, life goals there.
Sure.
So what made you guys get into van life to start off with then in 2017? Like, what turned you on to this?
We were living on a boat illegally.
Okay.
We were on a... I was in the process of getting out the Navy, and I still wanted to live in San Diego. Mm. But not pay $3,000 for rent like we were in this 3-bedroom apartment that we were splitting with two of my roommates. The original plan was one of my Navy buddies was going to move into the room that I was moving out of, and I was going to move into the 7-foot closet that was downstairs. I told Taylor about the idea. She wasn't so hot about it. So I decided to, I was like, you know, this would be the chance to move on a boat. I was like, but I want a big boat. So I went on Craigslist and I typed in yacht, but I went from like lowest to highest. Mm-hmm. So I saw this boat. It was like this yacht, 32 feet, $15,000. And I was like, blown engine. I was like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. I don't plan on taking this thing anywhere. So I went to go meet the guy. We went to go meet the guy and he was like, so what are you guys trying to do with this boat? And I was like, we're just trying to live on this boat. And he was like, oh, you're trying to live on this boat? And he just gave us the lowdown, like off rip. He was like, I can get you in to a spot where you only got to pay $450 a month and you can be living on your boat. And we were like, what? He was like, I'll call you back in 2 hours. It just happened super quick. He calls us back. He's like, you're in. You still want this boat? So we just signed up for it and went for it.
Oh my God. And how long did you live on this boat for?
We were on
total, like a year.
Yeah, like.
But it was starting to get like he was starting to see that we were living there, and he would just like harass us, even though it was like people that had lived on the boat for 18 years, And we were just like, oh, okay, we need a second thing. And Chris always wanted a minivan. And he was like, we can't live in a minivan, so let's see the next thing. And we started looking at Sprinters because Chris can stand up in them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We bought the van before we even knew what van life was on YouTube.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. So did you, like, and you didn't even really know too much about it on Instagram. I guess that was 2 years ago, so
yeah.
This whole lifestyle wasn't promoted that much on social media.
It was, like, what, just Will Sprouse?
Mm.
That's who we were getting information from, because we started off with no solar,
mm-hmm.
no lights, but we didn't,
yeah.
We didn't have electricity to run our fans, so yeah. We didn't really cook in here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've definitely started from the bottom.
Running all the electricity off of a small inverter. And
plugged into the van.
having a battery actually die. And stand outside and be like, yo, can you give me a job? Like,
oh my goodness. Yeah,
living and learning. For sure.
Living, and that's why.
Yeah,
starting from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yeah. It's just everybody. You got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hop on an opportunity and just have good faith, and you'll make it.
So you basically gone to this lifestyle because you needed to transition from the boat. You still didn't want to pay that much for rent, and did you want to travel as well? Was that part of the allure?
So we started going to the beach and like sleeping at the beach for the weekend, and we were like, oh, okay, this is cute. And then we started doing
it. In San Fran?
No, in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And then we started like actually living in the van like a week at a time. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, I went to work this week and still lived in the van and figured out how to take a shower at the Y. And we were just like, okay, we can do this. And we took it to Joshua Tree.
Mm.
And then we were like, this is it.
Mm.
We were like, we could definitely do this. Yeah.
And the universe gave us a sign on our way back. So we're coming back from Joshua Tree. We're like, oh, that was really cool in the van. We're like, hey, why don't we just like, what if we just went full time in the van? We go back to the boat. We check on the boat. We open the door to the engine bay, and it's completely flooded. Our 40-gallon water tank leaked out. So we were like, you know what? If this wasn't a sign,
what is?
So we decided to sell the boat.
Mm-hmm.
We sold it for more than what we bought it for. And then we just quit our jobs and just traveled around full time for like 10 months. Stretched out the rest of our cash down in Baja for about 2 months.
And beauty. Just living down there. Dollar tacos.
It was
30-cent tacos.
Couldn't help it. It was my best. That was my best experience habitating in a vehicle, going to Baja, California, Mexico.
And then when did you guys start getting connected with like the community, the van life community?
Probably right after Joshua Tree, right? We went to our first San Diego van meetup
On Fiesta Island,
mm-hmm.
ran by the Van Life app.
Yes, but like before the Van Life app even came out, so it was just like still kind of small.
So Brianne, and do you guys know that I'm part of the Van Life app?
No.
I'm on the team, so Brianne's like a great friend of mine.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we've been there. We've seen it grow and expand. We met the Kevin and Danny of the Van Kooks there, and we just started following them, and we were like, whoa, they're full-time.
Mm.
We've never met anybody that's full-time, and they're like figuring this shit out.
And they're like our age.
Yeah, and we were like, okay, we're going to work towards that, and then like the next, year and 6 months, we completely went full-time.
Wow. So cool. So I have a question that I've been wanting to ask for a while. I'm curious. So do you know Naomi and Dustin from Era to Aurora?
Yes, we've communicated on Instagram, but we've never met in real life. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So she's like my brown sister.
Mm-hmm.
We're soul sisters. And we talk a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I want to ask you guys what your experience was. Because, for example, she doesn't feel... Or her experience has been she doesn't feel as welcomed into this community as she would hope, because she's often the only brown
mm-hmm.
or colored person at the event.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering what your guys' like experience was with that, and like, have you ever felt, maybe just share your experience with me about that.
I don't know. You've seen us here, this community, and like everybody accepts us, everybody loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess it just depends on who. Everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
Some people suck, you know, like, mm-hmm. and, you know, some people have different opinions and preferences, and you just go about it. But,
and I think we have gone through different experiences. We grew up in the South. I was often the only black child in my class, mm-hmm. and then I was often the only black girl in my friend group. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, I don't know. It was always normal to just stick out. And then Chris was a rescue swimmer in the Navy, mm-hmm. so.
Not a lot of black people swim, so, yeah.
Oh, really? That's like a...
And that's a huge thing.
A huge thing. Huge thing. Which is crazy. But like both of our parents made sure we had lessons. Mm-hmm. So it's just like exposure to like just what you have access to. And nobody's ever made me feel different, because I went to Women on the Road and I was able to talk about how sometimes I feel left out, and like we don't see, like if you do hashtag van life, are you gonna see like a black couple? Mm-hmm. Most likely not, because mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just like this fairy tale sparkly world.
God, yeah. I'm so happy we're having this conversation, and that's exactly what I wanted to lead into, because Naomi and I, like, we don't feel like the representation is honest at all and real. Like, you know, that life is so glamorized on Instagram, and this is why I started this podcast, because mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, get to the root. Like, these are real humans out there. It's not your typical, you know, painted Westie with somebody riding on the roof.
Exactly.
Like, those are, but that's what you see, and I don't feel like it's equally represented, and that's why I was wondering how you guys felt about that.
You have to think about how a lot of van life's main platform is social media, and with that is Instagram. So there's this presentation that, you know, it has to look nice. Like, it already has filters. So like, there's this whole understanding that like, I want to put my best work up instead of like, I want to put like what's real and what it is. And also, sometimes I don't get too offended, just because like, you know, you really get a grasp on what it is to be a true minority. Like, I lived in Atlanta, where it was like primarily black, like a truly like heavily black present city. And then, you know, when I started doing the special things that I did, like, it's not a lot of black people running and burning buildings, not a lot of black people on swim teams, not a lot of black people saying, oh, I'm gonna jump out of a helicopter, shoot machine guns. Like, so I found myself like really like, oh snap, like this is what they mean, like when you're an actual minority, like it's majority white people. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't take offense to it. Like, if it's like Caucasian based, like getting the most attention, like I don't personally know too many African Americans myself that like live in a van, and my friends that, you know, see us that live in a van, they think it's cool, but they're also like, you're the only person I know that does it. So
mm-hmm. And they just don't see it. Like, if you don't have representation of like yourself in an activity, like why would you want to do it? And like, that's why I love sharing back home, because a lot of people don't have their passport, so they couldn't have went to Baja like mm-hmm. we did. And it's like, it just gives people hope to just like, they can do it, because I didn't even know about national parks growing up. Like mm-hmm. that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't grow up camping. I don't know, I grew up, I had boy cousins, so I was into like outdoors things.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but before Descendant Bend, there was a bit of an incident with another black couple, van life couple, mm-hmm. and the cops. Did you guys hear about that at all?
Yeah, we talk to them often, Lavelle and Paris,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
So what was... Can you speak a little more about that?
I know they were, like, doing laundry, and somebody said that they didn't have plates, that somebody was, like, screaming in the back of the van... And, like, the cops just showed up and, like, cuffed him. And I was mm-hmm. like, wow. Like, we've never had that experience. I don't know. But it's, like,
and
it could be anybody.
And do you think it was because they were black?
Yeah, it could be anybody, though. It's, like, people, I don't know, we're judged off of our appearance. Because, like, we're two black people with, like, a pit bull-looking dog mm-hmm. in a van. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people could look at us like that. Instead of, like, what, a typical-looking girl with, like, what, a fluffy... German Shepherd, Golden Retriever, like whatever it is. Yeah.
Which to me is fucking mind blowing.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly what I mean. Like, this is about stigma, and it's about having blinders on. You know, like, would they have handcuffed a white male?
No, because like repercussions would come from that.
Mm. And
it's like they know nobody's gonna do anything. So it's
Wow. Oh, so that's what you... Okay, because of the repercussions.
Yeah. You just have to move differently in the world being black.
What do you mean by that?
How do I say that? Like, watch where you go. Like, we wouldn't van life in the South, most, like, unless we're going back home.
And why?
Just, like, we were driving through Texas and we got pulled over. And it was just, like, in the middle of nowhere. It was just us. And then, like, another cop pulled up, too. And we were, like...
Why'd they pull you over?
It was... The speed limit changed on the signs really quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, in towns passing through, they'll get you real quick.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Like, they saw veteran on Chris's driver's license. Mm-hmm. And then we were okay. So... But it's, like, two cops. Like, mm-hmm. why did...
Right.
We're in a truck. It's just, like... Chief's in a seatbelt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to actually be careful where you go. Like, you pick where you go on purpose.
And you're more of... Yeah. I'm aware of my surroundings, mm-hmm. of, like, who stares at us. Because, mm-hmm. like, we do get a lot of stares in the van. Like, if I... Especially when I'm by myself and I just, like, hop out of the van, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, like, what's going on? And it's, like, you kind of feel uncomfortable because mm-hmm. it's, like, everybody's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what do you think can be, like, if you, like, right now we have this beautiful platform, which is this podcast. What is something that you would maybe want some fellow listeners to know? And, like, you gotta excuse me at my ignorance, right? Like, I'm just generally curious, so I'm just kind of asking about these things. And, I don't know, because I feel like it's sometimes there's a lot of tension, like, people don't want to ask questions.
Just know it's uncomfortable being uncomfortable talking about it. And then just be honest, like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And just be like, I am trying to help. But, like, what people need the most is, like, white allies, people to speak for us. And, like, just be like, hey, that's not okay. Because, like, I mean, somebody's not going to listen to us if they're already disrespecting us. Not seeing us as humans, like, mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know. It's just being more open-minded and not saying, like, it's not racist anymore, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we walk around La Jolla, people stare at me.
Where is it?
La Jolla, California. Oh, okay. In San Diego. Like, people stare at us, mm-hmm. just because we're black, just because I wear my natural hair out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm just not doing anything. I'm just, you know, humans being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Haters gonna hate. You can just... People stare all the time. I mean, I've been stared at for a while because the stuff that I've done in my life. I was naturally a class clown, so I'm not afraid of the attention. So I just move politely. Go about my way. If you don't like me, then I can always just move. That's the best thing about van life. It's very unfortunate what happened in San Francisco. I wasn't there. I don't know what all went down, but I know personally, after our experience in Baja, there was a situation where we were parked on the beach. I open the door to my van, step out. I see four police officers in the truck. They're driving on the beach. I wave at them. And they just respond back with the, like, hang loose sign. Two whole different worlds.
Mm.
You know, and I came back to, when we came back to San Diego, we were, like, in the city of San Diego. And I was just like, I just can't do this. I looked at Taylor, I was like, I just can't do this. And we just had to go to some BLM land. Like, I'd rather just...
Because of all the stairs?
Yeah,
and all
just the
it
stairs.
It was just too much city. And we were just like, oh.
Yeah, like, you kind of just get over city life because... city life hasn't recognized van life as, like, a truly official alternative way of living. Like, they associate it with homelessness and drug abuse. Like, so in the media, you know, you're getting backstabbed with, like, it's drug abuse and homelessness. But on Instagram, it's like, oh, I'm in my 2016 four-wheel drive Sprinter. But, like, the glam is the glam. Like, the glam's going to get the attention unless you want to present something else to the table, which is realness, you know, and, like, just this.
It's this.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Man, you are so articulate. Like, you are so articulate. You've just basically summed up how I'm feeling so well. That's exactly how I feel. Like, you guys don't know too much about my background, and I know that these guys hear it all the time, but the long and short of it is... I finished up nursing, and I was working with people who use substances and people without homes in a clinic as a nurse, living in a van. I would go to the clinic, I would serve these people, my friends, my clients. I'd come home. Guess who was beside me? Same people, right? Sleeping in tents, sleeping outside, sleeping in a box. But guess what the difference was? They would get totally shit on. They would get totally pushed to the side. And we would be as well. Until we mentioned we're registered nurses, people would get on their hands and knees. People would get on their hands and knees because I'm privileged enough to say that. And I really recognize my privilege, but I realize that, like, this is so unfair. These people don't have a chance. And all it takes is a conversation, takes sitting down with these amazing people and hearing their stories. And next thing you know, your whole perspective has changed. So why are you coming closed-minded mm-hmm. in the first place? And you just said that so well. You're right, the glam does get the intention.
I think it's just lack of exposure too. Like, you know, like, van life itself is new. Like, it's not in the news. It's only on, like, social media news. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it's still working its way before, you know, everybody's grandma know what van life is. Like, only your grandma knows what van life mm-hmm. is, but not everybody's grandma knows. Mm. So it's a lot of people that really just don't have a clue what it is. So, like, when you tell people, like, oh, I traveled in a van, they're like, what? And also, I guess if I could tell somebody something cool who lives in a van, you should put living in a van on your resume. Fill in, like, gaps of employment. Employers are very interested in, like, we put a little blurb, and it just said, like, traveled around in a self-converted van, you know, carpentry, electrical work, you know, budgeting, finances, critical thinking, you know, adaptability, flexibility.
Yeah,
you
just adapting to unexpected situations mm-hmm. and being able to plan an itinerary and a budgeting for yourself. Like, that makes you just seem like, oh yeah, I was in a van and yeah, I got my life together. Like, I'm a working member of this society mm-hmm. and I'm awesome.
And then you drop
even
a link.
Though I didn't, like, yeah, I didn't work full time for 10 months, but I'm, like, also not a bum.
Totally, yeah. Man.
Because we would have to tell people, like, I would be like, oh, yeah, we lived in a van. And I would have to say, because we chose to. Because mm-hmm. of how people would be like, oh, you lived in a van? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, I'm actually great. And it just makes you more appreciative of things. Because people in city life, they care about things that don't really matter at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It's like they're not getting meaningful connections like we are. Mm-hmm. Especially just sleeping, eating, enjoying each other in the same area.
And why exactly do you think that is? Why are they not getting those meaningful connections as much as us, per se?
I guess because I think people are overstimulated. Mm. And they don't step back and isolate themselves and they're just, like, not idle enough to figure out what they want to do. And it's, like, we know what we want to do. Like, we'll be, like, okay, we're out in the desert. Yeah, let's go meet up with people. Let's just, like, connect. And mm-hmm. then we can come back in and just be a family mm-hmm. off-grid.
So did you guys always have that perspective on life, though? Like, did you always know, you know, like, the important things of life? Or did it kind of come with your experience that you had?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only child, so it's just, I don't...
Me too.
Yeah.
So same. Is he?
Yeah? Oh my god, that's so rare.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
never happens. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think experiences have a lot to do with just your influence of thought. Mm-hmm. Just this van life experience itself has just been... It's a very... self-fulfilling promoting of independence. Nobody really talks about that, how like van life kind of promotes like self-sufficiency, and you kind of like are forced to face yourself with like self-development, like what are you good at, what are you not so good at, because you're diving into uncharted territories and taking on new challenges mm-hmm. that you don't really have experience in, and you're just going in with the learning curve. Yeah.
Totally. Would you be open to sharing a little bit about your experience?
Yeah.
That one that you shared with us the other night? Also, when was that?
Oh, yeah. So I had a motorcycle accident back in November 2nd of 2017.
So it was the same year that you got into this van life?
Yeah, it was like a couple months into
the
like being in
the
van. Same year of us dating.
Okay, so you guys started dating. Yeah. You got into this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then this huge accident happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Yeah, so I was in the van. It was like 5:30, 5:45. I was like, all right, I'm about to get ready to go to work. So I put on all my gear.
To go into like the Navy work?
No, I just gotten out the Navy, and I was working as a security guard and a barback at two different clubs in San Diego, and I was also a water polo coach for the YMCA. Wow. So I was on my way to work and going to the YMCA, and I was going down this intersection on the street, and the guy was trying to turn at the light. It was a yellow light, so I had the right of way. I was going through. He turns. He just doesn't see me. I just remember squeezing my brakes, and everything went black. I just woke up in the ambulance. But apparently I landed on the windshield. The car kept going for about 10 feet. It stopped. Then I launched like 40 feet, hit the ground. They said I was unconscious for about like 4 minutes. Then I woke up in the back of the hospital, back in the ambulance, and said, you got a motorcycle accident. I called Taylor, let her know what happened. Then we go to the hospital.
Let me interject. So Chris, first of all, he was in the best spirits. Like, he called me and he was like, Taylor, I got hit. And I was like, what do you mean? Because I just got off work, I'm decompressing. I was like, are you okay? He was like, I'm in an ambulance, Taylor, what do you think? And I was like, okay, Chris, you don't have to get smart with me. And then the paramedic was like, hey, we're going to the hospital, this is what happened, just meet us there. Like, just joking the whole time.
Wow. Yeah,
joking at the hospital during his x-ray, just the whole time. He was like, okay.
Yeah, they were like, we're about to put you in
surgery. And you're like, God damn, I'm dating this guy. I love him.
And then they were like, oh, he has like a 9% chance of living. And I was like, he's sitting here joking and laughing and just, he was like literally bleeding out as he was like just in good spirits and like making sure. He was like, Taylor, it's okay. And I was like, no, it's not, Chris, but okay.
My heart rate was like 55 beats per minute.
Yeah.
I was bleeding out. Just chilling.
And they actually said you have 9%. Where were you? You were bleeding inside? Do you know where?
I had like internal bleeding, yeah.
Because you had the teared aorta.
Yeah, because I broke my ribs, I punctured a lung, and I had a tension pneumothorax, hemopneumothorax, and then I lacerated 6 of my organs, tore my aorta, heart shift to the center of my chest.
Yeah. X-ray was gnarly. Yeah. You could see it. Like, I saw the x-ray, and I was like, something's not right. I was like, I was like, either your heart's too big or it's in the wrong position.
Right, because the collapsed lung and then it shifts.
It was like literally lined up with his spine.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was intense.
And so what was going through your mind this time? Like,
let's go. Yeah, they were like, we're about to put you into surgery. I was like, everybody's ready? She was like, yeah. I was like, all right, let's go. And like, they were like, who you want to hold your stuff? I was like, Taylor, lose the shit. Give it to Mermo. Like, I was like, let's go. 5 hours, I'll be back.
Wow. Like, just determination to make it on the other side.
Yeah, like, what else is going to happen? It's either you lose or you win. And you go for it. Just simply go for it.
So they repaired the aorta?
Yeah. So I was in ICU for about 4 days.
4 days.
And, I was in general hospital care for another...
Like eight.
Seven days.
7 days.
Yeah. They said I was supposed to be in there for like 14 days. I walked out at eight.
Mm.
So, that was...
And what do you attribute that to? Do you think your mindset had anything to do?
Yeah. Just if there's a will, there's a way.
And your health, too. You can't... Yeah.
It really helped that Taylor was there. It was cool. Because, like, I remember one day when I was... It was probably, like, the 9th day. And I would have trouble sleeping. So I couldn't sleep because I had, like, a huge tube in my left side, like, pulling blood out of my body it was in my body for 10 days.
Yeah.
I was getting blood pumped out of me for 10 days straight.
Yeah.
So I couldn't sleep and stuff. And I remember I was just up and I saw Taylor like in her work clothes, like sleeping, and I was like, dang, like my girlfriend's like driving the van around town, like going to work. Whenever she's not at work, she's over here, like, with me, like, sleeping in an uncomfortable couch. Mm-hmm. And, like, she could, like, be in a bed. And I just remember I just, like, started crying, like, bawling crying. Mm-hmm. Just, I woke her up and I just said, I just wanted to thank you for just being here for me, just mm-hmm. being my rock, holding me down.
But it was, like, without question. Like, yeah. I don't know. Chris is my person, so. And then we just had so much family, friend support, yeah, that just felt like family. Like, people making sure that I ate because I wasn't eating. People bringing me things that I needed to go to work. Face mask, lotion, like, just the juice. Nice thing. And then, like, the ICU was like, oh, 2 visitors at a time, and they were like, Chris Allen in the back, I don't care. And Chris had like 4 visitors, so he was like never alone. Whenever I was at work, they made sure somebody was with him. And like the nurse would text me and let me know what was going on. And it's like, they're not supposed to do that because like I was not his wife at the time.
Yeah.
And
we were just a couple living in a van and a boat together, and they kind of understood, and this showed a real human aspect. It was super nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then we had just talked about getting married maybe a week before the accident.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
wow, okay. After you just started dating?
Yeah, it was like, what, 11 months?
So you guys
months?
Just knew? You're like, this is my person? This yeah, is my
you
person?
Just, you know. Yeah. It's just, I mean, we're 2 only kids. Like.
Yeah, we started living together 6 months into dating.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we started working together as well. And we have the same friend group, and it was, I don't know, we're growing together, and that's not easy with somebody. Yeah, especially living in the van, too, but you just
and then, like, going through massive experiences like that.
And then I also got sick, too, last later. November, a year later, and what Chris held it sick? Down. I was coming back from Women on the Road, and I had too many asthma triggers. It was the desert. I went from the desert, the high desert, to the hot desert, to San Diego with the Santa Ana winds, and then the elevation. I got a small cold in my chest, and it just triggers on top of triggers, and my body was, they just told me, we have to intubate you. So I was intubated for like 6 days. Chris is raising 2 dogs in the van. My mom lives in Alabama. My dad is like, we're kind of iffy, but like it just made it so much better because Chris just held it down. And if it wasn't for the van community, because Chris went to the meetup without me, and like people just held him down, and he was never alone. It was always a potluck, and they held him down.
I love you guys. Honestly, like you,
yeah. It's just the community.
Yeah.
They've done so much. And then it's like people, when I was sick, people got in contact with my dad to ask how I was doing. And I was like, how do you know what's going on? And it was just, yeah.
Like genuinely care. Fully got your back.
Yeah, and then I got out of the hospital, went to a Friendsgiving, like a little van life Friendsgiving, and then we went to Joshua Tree, and it was just like everybody was really supportive because I was just really sick, and people were just there for me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So you guys are warriors.
And if it wasn't for the van, like we were able to bring our home everywhere. Like when Chris wasn't able to walk very far from his surgery, like the van was still close. And then when I had my asthma attack, we went to Joshua Tree. I stayed in the van, but I was able to see everybody, like, doing things, and I was able to take the rest that I needed.
So you weren't isolated, right? You're not isolated.
I wasn't like, left at home.
And society teaches us, go get your own house on your own hill, by yourself, isolated. Then what? Like, the community is what kept you guys really alive, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Love, right? Love and connection. Seeing her beside you. Having him hold that down. That's love and belonging, what we all want.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God, I can't wait to stay in contact with you guys. Like, this has just been such a beautiful weekend. And again, like, it always amazes me what you can find out and what you can share when you just sit and create the space, right?
Yeah.
You create the no distraction, like just the holding the sacred space.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
And this is my first time really having meaningful connections with girls. Because, I mean, I'm 24. I'm in my mid-20s, so, like, 20s are hard. So, yeah, it's just a growing period for everybody. And it's, I don't know, everybody, we go through the same things. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Everybody's parents thinks it's weird that you're in a van when you first tell them. And, yeah, and it's like, yo, like, my mom doesn't get it. And it's like, it's okay, it took, like, a year and a half. Like, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 27.
Okay, yeah.
So...
Wow. So why do you, like, so what's your relationship with girls before this?
It was just, I moved around a lot when I was a kid. So it was just really hard to, like, weave into people's friend groups, even if they had been friends for years, because it's never the same. And then I moved to San Diego, and that's on it. I don't know. If you're, like, not really in the military, it's not really a good place.
Oh, wow.
To really make meaningful friends. Mm. I guess, because it's just so many young people living so fast.
Mm.
And I don't know. We had to get out of there because we felt almost too responsible to live in Pacific Beach. We were like, whoa. We were like, you're making these type of decisions? We're like, ooh.
Like, live fast, die young, like, kind of.
I'm like, I'm doing so much coke. Like, I had a nosebleed kind of deal. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life and how I'm going to produce electricity in my van.
Like, right, and that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Wow. Is that unreal? I feel like this lifestyle, like, we talk about it a lot, but it forces you to be more present. It forces you to grow because you're pushing all your comfort zones, you know? You're pushing those barriers, those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically shapes you into this, like, you know, warrior of a person. That's what I see. That's what I see in everybody, is this absolute resilience out here. This beautiful resilience.
That's what it takes to survive. Mm. You know, you got to think about when you're in this van, like, when you're in a van, you're more in tune with the environment. So you naturally become a little bit more primitive. Like, the more primitive, the more natural, easier it is. That's how I feel.
So, while you guys are pursuing education, do you think you're going to take, like, weekend trips in the van? Or how are you going to try and balance this? Because we joked, like, I did a podcast with Ira Wolf, and we joked that normally it's, like, a huge transition going from, like, a home with all these things to the van. But she's been in the van for 3 years, so now it's like, holy shit, like, I got to get a couch. And how do I even, like, transition from the van to a home?
It's been a real fun experience for us. Since being in the van, and... because we were in a van, we built the inside of it, and because of the van, we would have never done that. So now we have this experience of building our own furniture, and we already have built.
Yeah.
We built our own pallet bed out of recycled pallets, a pallet couch out of recycled pallets. We built a nice desk out of the leftover scrap wood from the pallet. So yeah, we've been pretty thrifty and just getting a lot of free stuff from Craigslist and just getting some stain and going back over it again. Yeah, simple stuff like that. And yeah, now we got a nice furbished home that we spent only money on, like, paint and supplies like that. So.
Wow.
And we're able to have, like, we're staying in a smaller space right now, but it doesn't feel small because, like, we just moved out of the van and our outdoor area is, like, bigger than the inside, and, like, that just means more to us. Mm. And then we have a covered patio. Since we live in Humboldt County, it's gonna start raining a ton starting in October, and we can enjoy our space outdoors. We can provide a yard for our dog. He's a real rider. He's lived on a boat and in the van, and he's doing excellent living in a house.
It's easier to raise a dog in a smaller space because actually you're supposed to introduce a puppy to a new room once every 30 days. So a house is just super overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. He says yes. He says yeah. Aw, wow. So cool.
But yes, we're going to do weekend trips or whenever we do have time. We are trying to sell the van, but we have an another adventure mobile that we're trying to work on.
Which is what?
We have a 2005 Nissan Frontier that we have a rooftop tent on top of, and we're going to try to build out the back cab because it has a cover over it.
Yeah. So. But you want to sell this for the time while you're in school and... Yeah.
We want to let somebody else have this experience just because, like, we can't fully experience this anymore because of school and stuff. So.
And it's still a good van, yeah.
It's okay, buddy.
It's still awesome. This van has been to Baja twice with two different owners, so.
Amazing. Yeah,
let's
keep
it going.
Yeah, beautiful. Like, letting somebody else enjoy it.
Oh, fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact about the van. So, we bought it off Craigslist from a guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, so why are you getting rid of this van? He said, oh, well, I built it out, and it just had, like, a high bed, a fridge to set up here, and a lower cabinet, and one overhead cabinet that shot across, but no doors. Mm. It was just, like, a shelf. So, yeah, things would just fall out. So, yeah. So, he said he originally was getting it so him and his girlfriend could move into, the van. Girlfriend's aunt dies, and she inherits, like, a condo on the beach. So, and they were like, we're done with this van. And next thing you know, after my motorcycle accident, fast forward after my motorcycle accident, year and a half, look for a job. I go to the YMCA as a job for a lifeguard. I go to rotate, and I look at the dude I'm rotating with, and I'm like, did you sell me a van off Craigslist? And he just looked, and his eyes just blew up, and he was like, dude. And we just, like, started talking it up. I was like, yo, how's it been? And da-da-da, like, you still with your girl? And he was like, no, like, I found out she was cheating on me, like, a month after, and I was like, oh, whoa.
But it was the first person we could talk about the van with, and he actually cared.
Yeah.
He would be like, oh, I saw it. You painted the hood black.
Yeah, we showed him pictures of it.
You got some new tires on it. And then he's like, oh, you got more solar on the top.
And the experiences that this provided you and is still providing you. That you can't even put a monetary value on that, I believe. And, like, you know, that he allowed that to happen.
Yeah. Just giving us, like, the opportunity to give us the chance of life with the van, you know. So.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, it's kind of similar, like, with my van. When I was buying it from the guy, we took it into a mechanic. And the mechanic literally said, I'll give you double for this right now. And I was looking at this guy who I was buying it from, Cole, and I was like, dude, no, you don't understand. Like, okay, you can double your price, you can make money, but you have no idea what this is going to provide me. Like, this, I knew it. I knew it the day, this is 3 years ago, like, on the 29th of August. I knew this was going to change my life. And I was just like, if you just take the money I'm providing you, like, that you already committed on, it's going to be so worth it because it's going to change my life and so many others. And it has. I think that, like, it's sort of, you know, similar. Like, it just, you got to give people the opportunity.
Exactly.
Everybody needs a shot. But don't mess it up.
You only got one shot, one opportunity. Seize everything you ever wanted.
Yeah. Every day is an opportunity, though. Every day is.
Yeah, and I think that's something I learned that night when you first shared that story with us, your accident, was... I said this to you. You had said, like, you got a second chance at life. So you look at things maybe more abundantly, or, you know, everything's it seemed a bit more sincere and real to you. And I was thinking, like, holy shit. Well, we have a first life, you know? Just as important. Like, it's so interesting that it takes, like, total trauma for people to tune into what's important in life.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, like, you don't need something like that to happen to you to tune in and start living, you know, and fully living, like, every day having gratitude and every day waking up and being like, I have today, you know, and breathing because we can. And yeah, and I just thought, I just, like, finally solidified that. I was like, yeah, like, we have a first life, so this is really important.
Yeah, everybody seemed pretty moved by what I had to share. It was a total accident. I was just trying to sneak up and sit next to Taylor, and then Todd just goes, Chris. And I was right by the stage.
All meant to be, see?
It was all, yeah, I guess the universe just made it happen.
Totally. Like, I've learned so much from the both of you this weekend. I'm so grateful I parked where I did.
Nice.
Like, this would never have happened. And, like, I needed to hear all these things. And then this other thing you shared with me about humans being able to multitask, but you gotta focus on one thing.
Yeah.
I never, like, how did you word that exactly? Do you remember?
That's exactly how I said it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, you focus on one thing and, like, look at people like Serena Williams, yeah, who only focus on tennis. Like, she dominates. Like, yeah, like, I mean, she probably could, like, do something else, but how proficient would she be? Like, she wouldn't be so great at tennis. So,
yeah.
Just
fucking right.
I wouldn't be here without Chris pushing me. Because I would be like, Chris, I can't do this. And I'll be like, I need a solution. And he'll be like, okay, you could do this, this, and this. And I'm like, but. And he'll be like, okay, let's do the first step. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And Chris helped me.
One step at a time, one day at a time.
Just feel comfortable being uncomfortable. Because this is what the van is. It took an adjustment period for me because I used to hate the van. And then I came back from Women on the Road and I was like, let's hit the road longer. Yeah, like, community was like, you know you want to do this. Mm-hmm. And you know you want to do it together. And I was like, oh. Because I just moved around so much and I didn't really have solid friends to, like, just keep in touch with. And just Instagram has helped so much. I know that's crazy for me to say, but I don't think people that live in a house understand how much Instagram is, like, helping us connecting, because replying to a story is so quick and you know what's going on. Like, somebody might need help and not know how to say it, but you hear them asking for help. Mm-hmm. So it's just,
I totally agree. It's been, like, a lifesaver for me as well. Just all the connections I've made and been able to, like, stay in contact and, you know, hey, I'm in this area. Is anybody else around? And meeting up, right? Mm-hmm.
That's what's better about van life between boat life, is if you want community aspect, then you have, like, these different social media platforms where people gather to, you know, exchange technical information or just, like, peace and love and positivity. So yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, so awesome. And you guys run your Instagram account?
Yes.
Called Adventure Allens?
Yes. And if anybody's ever in the Humboldt County area, slide us a DM. Like, you can park on our street. We can help you find things in the area. It's beautiful. And super, it's very van friendly.
Yeah, oh, really?
Very van friendly, yes.
Super thrifty.
And we have tools. Stuff. We have tons of tools. Mm. And we have, like, free wood as of right now before rainy season. Repairs, anything. Style.
You guys are seriously unreal. Like, I don't know if it's the only child vibe or what, but us only children are bad ass.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like that. Like, I've never been in a room with two others. And there's this, again, this, like, warrior-ness or resilient-ness that all of, I guess because we've kind of had to survive by ourselves. I don't know about you, but, like, I've kind of, like, helped raise my parents as well. And so, like, that allowed for such
maturity.
Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea you're 24 and 27. That's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we lived a little.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad gave me the opportunity and told me I can live with him in California. And I was able to spread my wings. I always felt different in Alabama. Mm-hmm. Always. Like, I wanted to go to Coachella before it was popular, and people would be like, what? You want to do what?
Really?
You want to live in a van? Mm. And I was like, I'll live in a tent. I don't care. My dad used to take me camping, but he really showed me, like, the California lifestyle.
Was your family originally from Alabama?
Yes. And my dad, we used to live in San Diego for a little bit, and then my parents got divorced, and I moved to Alabama with my mom. And then I moved out here in 2015.
Yeah, wow. Kicking it. And where is your family from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, yeah, right. And that's why you were raised there.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? We met in San Diego.
Off
but
Tinder.
We live
so Oh, Tinder.
Close. Yeah.
Hey.
Swiped right, couple.
And then slid in my DMs, and then I was like, okay.
Slid in my DMs.
Let's hang out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So here we are.
Married.
Married.
Fucking been through it all.
Yeah.
And here that. And sharing, like, wisdom, love, and gratitude. Those are the three words I would describe you to. Wisdom, love, and gratitude.
Mm. Thank you.
That is special.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a heartwarming experience.
Thank you so much. Yeah. We will be back next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cook's Village, bigger and better.
Hell yeah.
Every year.
Every year, we're going up.
Yeah, the tunnel's coming next.
The tunnel with the lights?
The tunnel's with the lights.
Oh.
We're going to figure it out. It's going to go down.
Wow.
We got some ideas. We got some creative people here.
Yes.
I think the talent show is going to be on full display next go around.
I need to start practicing in March
for the talent show. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here with me, you guys.
Thank you for your time.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, and thank you all for listening and following along on this journey. It means so much to me, and I'm really, really grateful and so unbelievably privileged to be able to sit here and you know, and share the stories or help facilitate or just listen to the amazing people that are in this community. Nice. So, until next week.
Until next week.